in the name of Jesus. Amen. I woke up this morning, if you want to give this a title, Different Ways God Communicates to Us. Different Ways God Communicates to Us. We have been instructed, as we've been looking and hearing since the start of this month of October, chronologically, it's the 10th month of the year, but I'm telling you, God does not move with the chronological timing of man. One day with the Lord, the Bible says, is like a thousand. We are the ones who count day one, day two, day three, according to our chronological calendar. So, for example, today is the 23rd of October. In God's agenda, God speaks in times and operates in times and seasons, because times and seasons are in His hands. So we have to understand that God's timing is different from our timing. And that's why some of us are frustrated, because some of us are looking at the chronological timing and saying, by this time, I should be here now. By this time, I should be married now. By this time, I should not be on this job now. By this time, that is your own timing. Maybe in God's own timing, it is not yet time. Why? Because God, the Bible says, He has made all things beautiful in its time, not in your time. So maybe somebody's feeling frustrated. I bring the word of the Lord to you today. Don't be frustrated. You just need understanding of the times and the season of life you are in. And I pray right now, as God will communicate to you, you will understand the time and the season that you are in the name of Jesus. All right. Thank you very much, Franklin. I will be needing you again. And we're going to sing that song, When the Glory Comes. When I'm short of words, there will be no words to say. And all we can do is to groan. Oh. All right, let's sing it together. When the glory comes. It's only Kingsley. Oh. Okay, some of us don't know the song. Just learn it. When the glory comes, there will be no words to say. Oh. The first one is, oh. Somebody's saying, I thought you wanted to talk about different ways God communicates. God is communicating already. I'm telling you to listen and learn this new song. All right, let's go. When the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. There'll be no words to say. Oh. And when the glory comes, there'll be no words to say.
There'll be no words to say.
All right, well done. Because we're going to sing that song shortly. Different ways God communicates with us. 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1 to 10. We read the story last week, story of a boy called Samuel. I'm giving you the scriptures, and please go home and read. Go home and study. Because one primary way God always speaks, I'm hearing an echo. Please, the people online, can they hear me? Please just type and tell me you can hear, because faith comes by hearing. Very, very important. And please, can we stop that echo? They can hear me now. Glory be to God. Right, so this boy, the background to his story, I'm still hearing that echo. I don't know. It's just distracting me. Okay. This boy was dedicated to the Lord from his mother's womb, even before the mother conceived this baby. You know, the story is that she goes every year with her family to a place called Shiloh. Shiloh means the place of rest. It's a place in those days where the Ark of God resided. And under the old covenant in those days, where the Ark of God is, that means where God is present. Please just follow step by step. So every year they make a pilgrimage to the presence where God is present to worship. And of course, the priest will go in, come out, and tell them what God is saying. They make sacrifices. They ask God for sin, for forgiveness of sins and all that. Yearly, this was a yearly sacrifice that the people of Israel were doing in those days. So every year his mother, Anna, will go. And every year she returns childless. For this has been going on for years. And how do I know his years? Because her husband, Elkanah, took on another wife and had children in the process. So that shows us that she's been going to that Shiloh for years. But every time, going to the place of rest, but returning with unrest. I'm talking to someone, and I believe God is talking to someone. Please, the word of God you're going to hear today will bring an anchor to your soul. Enter into God's rest. Just hear this word and let your soul anchor on this word that God has not forgotten you. Just understand the season you are in. Some of us are in the season of manifestation. Some of us are in the season of waiting. There is a period to wait. Please don't jump. Did you hear the arrowwood? They talked about step by step. Step one, step two, step three, step four. I can tell you this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just distraction. Not distraction. Just a little aside. Listen. I remembered when we were growing up and, you know, parents always wanted their children to succeed. And there was this rivalry among parents whose child will get to secondary school first, whose child will get into university first. And I remembered, you know, I was a little bit, well, I wouldn't say slow, but I was on my lane. Let me put it that way. I remembered, you know, and I'm not saying it to spite anybody because I don't know where this message will go and the person listening to will hear, but I believe God has done a reset. You know, I remembered there were, you know, growing up, there were just this, you know, two people, and especially one, had what is known as a double promotion, you know, when we were in primary school, double. So got it, instead of going from maybe primary one to two, was got to two and they found I was super intelligent, they moved to three. And then by the time we got to three, got to four, and decided, you know what, in those days, in our time, ideally you go to secondary school from primary five if you are smart enough. But then you get to primary six and then you go to secondary school. But double promotion, gets to primary three, gets to primary four, writes exam. Primary four enters secondary school at the age of 8 years old. That is a testimony, right, to some of us that, wow, eight, blah, 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 good. But excuse me, a child is a child. Okay? So calculate five years secondary school, by the age of 12, enters university. Yep. 12. Enters university. Some of us are 12. Our children are still in primary. You know? I'm just saying this because by the time university and everything came, the pressures of life, the child could not handle. Messed up university, joined cults, went into drugs, messed up, and all the acceleration, the speed, the double promotion, turned to nothing. I'm telling you, true life story. And of course, this person too had a sibling, and they pushed the same sibling too, jumped too. Same story. University messed them up. They're adults today and resetting their lives. Please tell somebody the race is not to the fastest runner. Listen, you can actually be the fastest runner today. Please enjoy your season. Somebody's going to overtake you tomorrow. Go and ask Usain Bolt. All right? Go and ask ex-champions. You know, it's very dangerous to be an ex-champion. When you are the reigning champion, everybody's, yeah, you are the thing. You are the real deal. Let somebody defeat you. And then let them defeat you again. that's when you will know that people are only following you because of your success, not because of who you are. The only person who loves you truly, genuinely for who you are is Jesus. Is God. God said in his word, I will never leave nor forsake you. So this child was conceived after many years of the mother waiting, praying, crying. I won't go into in-depth, but join us on the Thursday Bible study when we will break some things down about the child called Samuel. So it was dedicated to the Lord, and it was brought to the temple after he was weaned off, you know, to start eating solid food, and he grew up. So he was serving in the church, what was known as in the church then. But then, he was being mentored by a priest called Eli, a seasoned priest. A priest who was trained, brought up as a priest. The boy dedicated to the Lord was brought to him. And in those days, you can't just be a priest. You must be in the lineage of a priest for you to be a priest. But because of the dedication that the mother and the vow she made that, God, if you give me a son, if you give me a male child, I am giving this child back to you to serve you all the days of his life. So that was the story of Samuel. So he came under Eli, the priest, and kept serving the Lord, but he did not know God. Because when God spoke to him, he didn't know it was God speaking. We've established that. You can be coming to church, growing up in church, even serving. It doesn't mean you know the Lord. And it doesn't mean you recognize the voice of God when God speaks. So Samuel had to be mentored by Eli, and Eli taught him how to hear and recognize the voice of God. I'm saying this to establish why we're teaching this today. Different ways God communicates to us. By the help of the Holy Spirit, if I'm permitted, I'll share practical, real-life examples. So number one, how does God communicate? Now, if you look at that 1 Samuel chapter 3, especially when the first time God will speak to the young boy Samuel, it was in verse number 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. Or let's go to verse 4 straight away. Okay, 3 and 4. It said, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, while Samuel, remember, it was a child. Listen, a child is a child. A child is not an adult. Please allow children to grow. The Bible recognizes that train up a child in the way he should grow or go. And when he's old, he will not depart. If you don't train the child, you cannot train an adult. You can't. Child, capture that. And child, you know, scripturally, between 0 and 12, and psychologists have proved it. Between 0 to 3, 3 to some age, and then by 12, a child is completely formed. By 13, it's no longer a child. It's no longer a child. It's already set in a certain way which he will grow. At the crucial age of 12 is when you can lose a child if he's not trained. So if your child is still between 0 to 12, please, there are some things now you must insist as a parent. Listen, I said it earlier. You're praying, your child is, children should not be exposed to this. You are giving them what exposes them. By the grace of God, God has helped us to raise 2 young men. You can ask them. The age at which I allowed them to even have a phone. They grew up in the UK, in this country. Call me a bad parent, but I'm reaping the fruit today. And when we were given phone, I didn't give them phones that will expose them to the evil world of the internet. When all their friends were joining Facebook, they were facing their own book. I didn't let them join Facebook. Facebook has age restriction, people. In those days, I know it's not Facebook anymore now. There's TikTok. There's TalkTik. There's talk, talk, ticking, or whatever. There's all sorts now. And you allow, because that's the in thing, and then your child goes there and then is exposed to a pedophile or exposed to whatever, and then you are praying. What are you praying about? What are you praying about? Capture it now and stop some things now. This is the time to stop. In this house, you don't use this, you don't use that, you don't go here. Put parental guidance and whatever and whatever. Oh, no, it's for their homework. You don't know nothing. I am a teacher. I work with children of different ages. I work with adults. I've been in the class before where a child went and I did turn my back. They were working on the computer, bypassed the college system, and went on a pornographic site and displayed it on the screen, right in the classroom. How did he bypass that? You don't know nada. Sorry, is that tongues? So please, I'm just talking to those of us who still have children within that age group. There are some things they must stop and you must stop. Oh, they will cry, they will do. Excuse me, you are a parent. Parenting is not a title, it's a responsibility. Anyway, so Eli, this is the first time, had to teach Samuel how to hear God's voice. How to listen and hear God's voice. So the first time God will speak to Samuel is 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 3 and 4. So the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, Samuel, remember, a child at this time, the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." So Samuel, the child, ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." So God called Samuel, but Samuel thought it was the priest calling him. Okay? And then Eli had to tell him, Eli the priest, "I didn't call you. Go and lie down." And then verse 6, the Lord called again Samuel. So Samuel arose again and he went to Eli. "Here I am, you called me," he answered. "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now, look at it. Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He was 7. He was ministering to the Lord. He was growing under a priest. He was always in service, always in church and all that. You see, God bless the children. You think they don't know anything? Yes, but we're training them till they get to a point where they can start hearing the voice of God themselves. But if you don't train them and put them on that pathway when God is speaking, there will be no one to interpret to them. Very, very easy. And the world will interpret things to them. I'm telling you, there are so many baits out there now for children. Many, many baits of the enemy. Just distract your child. It is that Sunday, they will offer your child to come and do something, do this, do that. Oh, you know, I want my child to play for Liverpool and all that stuff and, you know, get into the Premiership. I remember the day, I was giving statistics of how many children go into football academies and how many of them ever break through to play in the Premiership. The statistics is so tiny, little. And somebody may say, "Okay, yeah, but what if my child makes that tiny little?" Listen, let me tell you something that we have to understand. That you make it in life, earn 100,000, 200 grand a week. I would love it if my children can earn that. Take note, Joshua, and Noah, you're online. But excuse me, of what profit is it if my child is earning 200,000 a week? He doesn't have character. He doesn't know how to treat women. And are you not hearing stories? Footballers getting into trouble with all the money they earn. Is one tiny, not sorry, I withdraw that. Is one little indiscretion that brings them down. Finishes their career for the rest of their life. And then, listen, that you are earning £200,000 a week does not guarantee you that, does not immune you from mental health problems. We think everything is money. Money does not cure nothing. Money even exposes people to all sorts of vices. What would a child earning £100,000 a week do? He won't listen to you again because he can buy you and buy your uncles and buy all his uncles. How many of us earn $100,000 a week? I mean, that's a week. Let's not even talk of a year. What these young people earn a week, some of us don't earn it in a year. In a year. Thank God for those who can break through, but they are trained. But if you don't train them, money is not everything. You will make all the money and still be battling with mental health problems, battling with emotions, battling with depression. I think it's high time we get our priorities right, people. I want peace. Peace of mind. Anyway, God called him, but he didn't know the Lord. He didn't recognize the voice of God. Eli had to mentor him on how to. So look at the way God tried, I'm using the word tried, to communicate with a young child. He spoke to the child in an audible voice. Listen, some of us, that's one way that God will speak to us, but it's not all the time. Usually, when you hear an audible voice, it's because you don't know God. Go and check the Bible. It's because you don't have, maybe God has been trying to get your attention. And the only way he can get you, because he can't speak into your spirit, is to find a way to speak to you audibly. I remembered I was in a relationship and clearly I heard the inner voice of God in my spirit telling me to break the relationship because the relationship was going nowhere. I just got saved. And then I read the Bible that says the righteous are bold as a lion. I used to be a very shy, timid, young chap that I couldn't talk to girls. But then I got saved and I became bold. I could talk to girls now. So I thought, I've never had a girlfriend before, so I'm bold and I can talk to girls. So I got a girlfriend. Why are you looking at me like that? But the girlfriend did not know the Lord, and I was growing up knowing the Lord. Anyway, God told me this relationship will not go far. I broke it, but I went back. So I remembered when I was going back one day to go and visit, I heard a loud, audible voice. And I knew it was God. I mean, like you're hearing me. I got myself into trouble. Of course, I didn't listen. I got myself into trouble. And of course, I had how many years to regret that action? It took me 8 years to recover. Now, I'm just saying this because most of us want to hear God and you are expecting God to speak to you audibly. Audibly usually is because you are not listening on the inside, or you don't actually at that point have a relationship with God, and God can catch your attention by speaking audibly to you. And listen, audibly means audibly. God can speak through anything, which we will see. So, but the first and primary way, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, that God speaks is through his word. Through his word. When you look at John chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. the word. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at how God now communicates to the earth. The Bible said the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light. So God communicates with us through his word. His word. So what I'm saying is, let me balance it quickly. Even if you hear an audible voice, it must be in line with his written word. If I hear an audible voice now, go and slap Pastor Schofield. I heard it. And then I go, how is that in line with the word of God? I remember somebody tried to play. He said that the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violence taken it by force. Excuse me. That scripture was not written in that context to go and slap somebody. So God primarily is, God is spirit, but he communicates with us through his word. So it is always good for us to go and know, learn, and study his word. Listen, when Jesus himself was on the earth, what was he saying when he was confronted with the devil? It is written. What is written? The word of God. He knew the word, so he could say it is written. If you watch Jesus growing up, the Bible said, I'm writing a book now, it's going to be out next Father's Day. I'm saying it ahead of time now, so I'm snared with the words of my mouth. 33 ways. That's not the title anyway, but I'm still toying with the title. We will see the life of Jesus from 0 to 33. How he was brought up, how his father brought him up, both his heavenly father and Joseph, his father. It's all in the scriptures. Jesus, from when he was a child, he was always taken to the temple. By the time he showed up at 30, the Bible says, as his manner was, so he was always coming to the temple. So that by the time he was now 30, he could walk with God. He could now walk with God, his father. So, we see this primarily, Jesus said it is written. So you and I need to know what is written in the word of God. That is the first primary way to know what God is saying. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, because I tried to look at it scripturally, how did God communicate with Adam and Eve that he first made? Now, this is getting interesting because it will take us to number 2. Way that God speaks. So number 1 is that God communicates with us primarily through his word. His word. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 16, this was after God had created the man. And this is how God communicated with the man he created. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 and then 16. The Bible says God took the man. So God had made the man. He put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Remember, the man he created was created like him. So the man could function like God. So how does God function? Listen, you and I, we have the ability to think. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to learn. We have the ability to create things. We are creative human beings. I'm telling you. Just leave a child, put an obstacle in front of the child, and you see how creatively the child will find a way to go around that obstacle without you teaching the child anything. These are the innate things God put inside mankind right from when we are children. Who taught the child in your womb to kick you? I want to know. The child has got his own mind. The child right from the womb has a mind of its own. So these are the qualities that God put inside man. So God now spoke to the man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord commanded the man, saying, saying. So I just want us to establish that. So God had told him, God was talking to the man he made, so there could be communication. Now, let's now go down to when God now gave the man a wife. The Bible tells us, I will just run the commentary, if you look at it from that verse 18, downwards till the end, all right? This is one scripture when we're doing premarital counseling for people. I tell them, go and study Genesis chapter 2 from verse 18 till the end. That's the first marriage in the Bible. If you understand the principle that God introduced there, you will understand marriage. You will not, I'm telling you, you will understand the principle of how marriage works. So God makes the man. He was alone. God comes to him. And God now said to himself, no, it's not good for this guy to be alone. Let me give him a helper. So you know the story. And God now found, you know, God put him to a deep sleep. And then while he was in coma, because that's what it is, induced coma. See all the scientific things we see today? That's where all these things are coming from. Because if you want to do a serious surgical operation, doctors, what do you do to the patient? You put them to sleep. And if it's a minor surgery, you can deaden the place. You put that place to sleep, so to speak. So God put the man to sleep. So I tell people, you're looking for a marriage partner, you better let God put you to sleep first. Because you don't choose in the flesh. Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, I like her figure. Please go and ask Pastor Schofield if this was his figure when he first married. I knew if I went to a woman, I would be in trouble. So I can come to you. So if she fell in love with the figure, where at the figure gone? So if the figure goes, the marriage goes. I like her figure. I like his figure. I like his six-pack. Look, six-packs don't last forever. The only thing that lasts forever is the word of God. All right. It may sound comical. So now God puts him to sleep. God performs a surgical operation. That's the first surgery we see in the Bible. And I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. For anyone watching or anyone who is about to go through surgery, I pray if God allows you to go through that surgery, it will be successful. Fear not. The hands, the fingers of God will come upon the surgeons and they will perform the operation as successful as God did in Genesis chapter 2. Please, let's celebrate the medical doctors. Please, I'm telling you, celebrate the real medical doctors that are doctors. I will share a wonder I saw recently. And I knew that if it was from the home country where some of us come from, we wouldn't be talking about what we're talking about today. Thank God for the wisdom of medical science. It came from Genesis chapter 2. Anyway, so the guy wakes up. Follow this. The first thing he does when he woke up, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. God caused a deep sleep. He went into coma. The man slept. God took one of his ribs while he was sleeping. Opened, and then he closed up the flesh. That's a strong place. I tell people, don't ignore that. Because when you are choosing a married partner, don't choose by the flesh. Your flesh must be dead before you choose. You know why? Because you don't know 5 years to come. You don't know 10 years to come. You don't know who you love today, in quote, and will be there with you in 5 years' time when life throws all sorts of things at you. You don't know. But God, who knows the end from the beginning, if you allow him to put you to sleep so that you're not judging by what you see, and let God show you Who will be there with you 10 years' time? I remember when I was about to marry and I saw my wife, you know. I think I put a little bit of the story in the book I wrote. I'd not even seen her. I didn't know what she looked like. I only heard her name. And something told me that's your wife. I didn't know what she looked like. So I'm talking as somebody who has practiced what I'm teaching. I didn't know what she, I just heard the name. And I began to inquire, who is this person called Wura? And I began to inquire, And the more I inquired, the more I kept liking what I was hearing about this person. So finally, the D-Day when I was going to see her in the flesh, it was my first time intentionally and deliberately. I went to the church where I learned she attends. And she was a Sunday school teacher. Some of us know the story. So it was intentional. I went for service that day to worship the Lord. Why are you laughing? What's funny? To worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Because God saw my heart. I prayed that day, Uche. I'm going to see her now. Let me see who this person is. If she's my wife, I will know. I saw her and they told me this at Sunday school. I sat in the Sunday school class and she was teaching. I was listening to her spirit while looking at her in the flesh also. And I noticed that the spirit and the flesh were conflicting because I would look at her and I wouldn't hear what she's teaching again. And then I would be saying, by the time I marry her, she will look better than I would take care of her. And then I would, oh, yeah, yeah. God was showing me the future. And I remembered before I told her, because I didn't waste time. And I didn't want to waste her time or, you know, me waste her time or her, she waste my time. And I remember I told her, please, I'm saying this story doesn't happen for everybody. I had walked with God for years before I met my wife. So please, this can't be your testimony. I'm only sharing my experience. But I remembered I only prayed. I said, God, show me 10 years to come, 20 years to come, if we will still be married. If there's no way here, please, Lord, stop me. Frustrate this. A very sincere prayer from my heart. And I think God began to show me my heart. You know, I read Psalm 139, that the scriptures there says that, search me, try me, if there be any wicked way in me. I said, Lord, you know if I'm going to be wicked to this sister? You know. So, Lord, I don't want any trouble. I want to be happily married. If this is my wife, please let me know. Listen, anybody can pray that prayer. And God will show you. If this is my husband. And there are some things you can even put right. Because God can show you, look, if you continue on this pathway, you might end up this way. But right now, if you make me your foundation, then you can build on me as your foundation and your marriage will work. Look, I was telling my wife as we're coming today that it's so sad that people are not discerning. They're not discerning. I just see the way some people start and I already know where they will end. You start on a rebellious foundation. You are not listening to anybody, listening to any counsel. Yeah, I'm in love. I'm in love. And that's all you care about. And you are careless about your love. So-called love. You are laying a foundation. When the storms of life start blowing people and start shaking, if there's no foundation, the house collapses. Just what? You don't want to listen to anybody. You're in love now. You know, you don't come to church. You don't listen to any counsel. Oh, don't go there. Don't do this. You don't want to hear. Don't want to hear. You're laying a foundation that you will not be able to build on tomorrow when storms come. And the house you're building on a rebellious foundation can only go one way, collapse. But I am praying that won't be your portion. You are hearing, stop now. I heard this yesterday and I'm hearing it again. Stop or you will be stopped. Anyway, the man wakes up. And what happened? The Bible said in verse 22, Adam said, the man said, now, this is the bone of my bones, flesh of my bone. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Excuse me, how did he know he was in coma? How did he know that was his wife? If you read the scripture, let's read it. Did God tell him? God only put him to sleep, performed the surgery, removed, and brought the woman. And the first thing he says, so he knew. How did he know? That's the second primary way God speaks. It's called perception. Perception. And I will explain that, if God permits us, we'll continue next week. Different ways God communicates. Now, let's go back to Eli and Samuel, and I will close with that. If those are the two ways we can look at today, God help us, because we're starting a retreat on Tuesday, last 7 days of October. We are all going to come online, 6 to 6:30 or 6:45, depending on who the vessel God is using on Tuesday, last 7 days of this October, to come and to stop, to listen, and consider the wonders of God. God wants to speak to us. I received this instruction. They will give us the details later. You can log on every Tuesday from this Tuesday to next Monday, which is the last 7 days of October. God is saying, stop and listen. I want to speak to you. Let's go back to Eli. When God was speaking to this boy, remember, he was speaking through an audible voice. But God wasn't speaking to Eli. God was speaking to the small boy, Samuel. So let's see now how Samuel knew it was God speaking. Sorry, how Eli knew it was God speaking to the little boy. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's look at verse. Please, I hope you can bring this scripture on. Please, the people online, can they still hear me? Beautiful. Very important. You know, we have a wider, bigger church online and in-house. And it's very important for those joining us, because we have people joining us from so many places across the world who watch these services. And we see you as part of the church. Thank God for COVID. I will talk about COVID maybe next week. All right? So verse 8. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose, went to Eli, and said, here am I, for you did call me. Then Eli, please look at the screen or look at your Bible. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. I'm telling you, was he there when God called him? Did he hear God call Samuel? But he perceived. How did he perceive? Now, what does it mean to perceive? And I'm closing now. It means the word discern. And let me break it down. It means to consider diligently. It means to observe. It means to mark. We're observing. It means to be discreet. See that word discreet? God showed me something about being prudent. The Bible says that there's a scripture that says a prudent wife comes from the Lord. It was one of the scriptures God used to speak to me about marriage. Houses and riches, yes, are the inheritance of the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So I began to pray when I didn't know anything, that God give me a prudent wife. A wife that comes from you, not from my head. Not from what I think. Prudent means that The Bible, the scripture that explains prudence, is that a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. So you sit down and you think, this pathway I'm going, where is this likely going to end? That's one of the things that it means to be prudent and to discern. So when I see somebody acting in rebellion, I know exactly where you will end. Through observation, sir, if you go out through that door, do you know where you will end? Where you're likely going to end? This door, that one there. Just look back. Okay? Please, can you describe what can happen? Probabilities. Can we get a mic for him? Because I want to teach us what discernment means, what it means to perceive. It's something God has given us. Whether you are a Christian, whether you know God or not, every one of us, God has given us discernment. It's just that some of us are careful, some of us are sharp, some of us are not. We are waiting to hear an audible voice. No. Okay, if you go out through that door, this one, where are you likely to end?
Well, there are two. I could likely end up at the back.
Okay.
At the back.
If you turn left.
Turn left.
Where else can you end
corridor.
Up?
Corridor. Also end up at this, on the lift.
On the lift?
On the lift as well.
And where does the lift take you?
Downstairs.
Up?
Downstairs.
It's downstairs because there's nowhere up.
Yeah, there's nowhere up.
So through observation, you perceive that anybody who goes through that door will either end up in the corridor at the back there, and if they take the lift, they're ending up down.
Yeah.
That is what perception is, practically. So Samuel, I've been observing. This guy is coming to me. He's saying he's hearing a voice, and he thinks it's me calling him. I have walked long enough with God. This is Eli. To know that this is how God tries to get somebody's attention. And he told the boy, go back, lie down. When next you hear that voice, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. If you listen, you will hear God. Perceive. What does it mean to perceive? You consider, you distinguish. Let me tell us something. God speaks through anything and everything he can speak through. If only you and I will stop. Let me throw a bonus and we'll continue next week. My time is up. My time has been up since. Do you know God can speak through a little child? This is a true story. And I'm praying, but you see, our first son is not a child anymore. When we, you know, of course, my wife and I married, by the grace of God, I told God to show me 10 years, 20 years, and years to come. Are we still going to be together? To the glory of God, 25 years, we're still together. And I'm telling you, it's as if my wife and I just married. And, you know, these guys, our sons are watching us, so if we're lying, they can tell you that these people are hypocrites. It's as if I don't even know where the 25 years went. Because I know that I know that I know that 25, in fact, 27 years ago, God told me we will still be together, that this marriage will work. Just operate your marriage on godly principles. In other words, just Genesis 2, the man and the wife, they were both naked and they were not ashamed. Do you know one reason, one strong reason why people usually marriages collapse? You're ashamed of your spouse. When you start getting ashamed of your spouse, when you start hearing a man say, that woman! And you hear the woman also say, that idiot in my house! And then you start exposing the nakedness that you should be covering. They were both naked. They were not ashamed of each other. Because marriage will expose your naked. Sorry, I hit you so hard. Holy Spirit, comfort him. Marriage will expose your nakedness. Why are you looking away from me? But the nakedness you see, please cover it. Don't go outside and be telling everybody about your spouse's nakedness. God called you to cover. Pray. Agree together. So this is your problem. And we were in courtship for 9 weeks. So this is what you've been hiding from me. Apostle, we hear this. Some of us get the joke. Hold each other. Pray. Cover. Cover. Lord, help my husband. Lord, help my wife. We're in this together. We will weather this storm together. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we are together in this. We are in together. We are in this together. Where's Coach Yemi? God bless you, Coach. God was reminding me something about you and your wife today. We had the privilege of taking them through premarital counseling. There was a secret. Nobody knew. Nobody. Just the two of them, and they confided in us. I was scared when they told me. I was a secret. I was a health condition. That is not likely, you know, our sister will be able to give birth. But Coach Yemi said, I'm not marrying her because of that. I love her and I want to marry her in spite of this. Today, they have a baby boy. And God is telling me to remind you of that boy. Debbie, where's Yemi? Where's he? That don't forget how he came. Don't ever forget. No matter the challenge that may come up today or tomorrow, God is good. I don't even know how I got here. I think we should just pray. I'm not talking again. Sorry, my time is up since. Please just get on the keyboard. When the glory comes.